Welcome to Cross Points, a podcast to help you make Christ the center of your life. Brought to you by Cross Point Christian Church in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. I'm your host, Gary Abood Jr. In an increasingly busy world, it can be difficult to stay connected to your church between Sundays. It's our hope that this podcast will help to fill that gap. On this episode, we'll be talking with Pastor Jason about one of the four aspects of healthy church membership, serving. Pastor Jason Copeland, thank you for being with us on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. I am excited about this.
We're glad to have you here. And today we're going to be talking about this topic of service and how we can be serving in our church community and our larger communities, a way of living out our faith. What is the big idea here? Why is this topic of service so important?
Yeah, a few years ago, the elders at Cross Point kind of tried to boil down what it meant and what it looked like to make Christ the center of your life. We talk about that a lot at our church, that that's what we're here for, to help people make Christ the center of their life. So what are the tangible or visible effects that we can see that we would say, you know what, this is someone who's making Christ the center of their life? Of course, we know that it's really not about necessarily what we do, but as believers, we do live out our faith. And so there are four things that we looked at, the first being worship and our worship service. So we think someone should be attending a worship service and be involved in that and participate in that. We also looked at the idea of Bible study. We think everyone who's at Cross Point, who's able, should be a part of a Bible study. We talked about accountability. Everyone should be in some sort of group or a relationship that provides accountability to them, specifically in their Christian walk. And then we talked about the idea of service. And, you know, looking throughout the New Testament, and really throughout all of Scripture, it's very clear that there's this expectation that the people of God serve, and they serve God, and they serve their fellow man. And so when we talk about the importance of service, we're talking about that really in two areas. It's important that people be serving here at the church. If you want to be a fully engaged person here at Cross Point, we need you. We need you to be a part of what we're doing here. We need people greeting others. We need people helping pass out coffee, to serve in our sound booth. We need people holding babies. We need people teaching middle schoolers, teaching high schoolers. We need people involved in incarcerated youth ministries. We need people going to the Detroit Rescue Mission. We need people involved in our missions trips. So there's so many places where we need people, and we encourage people to serve in those areas. It helps us to kind of stretch and grow our faith. And so we look at that idea of service as being essential both in the church, but then also outside of the church as well. So it was an effort made by the church leadership to look and say, what do we encourage people to do? And one of those things is to serve.
So you've given us a lot of great ideas there of ways that people can get involved. In terms of taking a first step, so let's say for a family that's newer to our church, what would you say is a way that they could make a choice in terms of where might they best choose to serve? There are so many options that you've given, and there are, of course, many more that we haven't talked about yet. But is this the type of thing where someone should choose whatever their time allows and get involved with it? Should they be more selective about the areas that they choose to serve based on some criteria? What would you say is a way that someone could discern the best area for them to get started with serving?
Oh, that is, that's a great question. And I would just answer with yes. I mean, to all of that, in a sense, I'm a big fan. So if we're talking about a family, well, let's start there. If you have a couple, so when we counsel couples before getting married, we call it premarital counseling, but I like to explain that because sometimes it sounds like we're trying to match people up, which is not, we are not a matchmaking endeavor here. But we talk about the importance and maybe even the helpfulness of serving together. You know, so it may be that you and your spouse can be at church on a Wednesday night, and so you serve together in Awana. It may be that you and your spouse can be together on a Saturday morning, and so you serve together in incarcerated youth ministries. And so sometimes it's time-oriented. It's based on your schedule and when you're able to do things. Other times, there are some people who have just kind of that wide-open schedule, and every time there's something available at church, they could be here. And in those cases, I really encourage people to look and find their best fit. We aren't a church that's just looking for warm bodies. We want people who are passionate about the area that they serve in, who are equipped for that area and who are excited to do that. So we don't like to twist arms. You know, we don't like to draft people into the nursery, if you will. We want people who love children. And so a lot of it has to do with how you're wired, what your passions are, what God has equipped you with in your gifting. And we want to find fits there as well. Sometimes people don't know, and so don't know what they're gifted towards. And so they try a variety of things. And we try and provide opportunities for people to do that so that they find the place where they fit well. And we try also to not hold people too strongly to one area so that if they feel God's moving them to another area, they can. So I know that was a lot. So to answer your question, I think it depends on the person, and it depends on the time, and it depends on their life. If they have that availability to try a variety of things and find that place that best fits, we encourage that. But if time only allows for certain things, we of course hope that they can find something that fits in that window when it pertains to our church.
That's a really great way to get started. And there's so much, I think, that people would find value in if they started kind of with their own giftings and strengths, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, versus looking at sort of the menu of choices and going, oh, I might do this or I might do that. You know, many times this idea that we should be doing something or should be doing something else has kind of a biblical mandate behind it or a great example. Is there a particular passage from Scripture or maybe a theme from Scripture that you would turn people to that would help them to better understand where this idea of placing a high value on service comes from?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you read the Gospels and you just read and watch Jesus, that's what he does. He looks on crowds with compassion. He heals people. Some people in certain cases barely even ask for that, and yet he knows that that is what they need. He's always looking with an eye towards service. And of course, that pictures the greatest service that he's about to do in the Gospels, which is to lay his life down for us. And so if we call ourselves Christians, which means little Christs, if we're trying to be like Jesus, then we're going to serve. We're going to want to serve one another as believers. We see that often in the book of Acts. In fact, one of the first real church conflicts that we read about is over service. Some people not being served. It comes in Acts 6, I think, 5 or 6, where they are, some of the Hellenistic, the Greek-speaking Jews are a little upset that the Aramaic-speaking Jews are being served before them or vice versa. And so we might look at that and go, oh, there was a fight. But I look at that and say, well, they were trying to serve. You know, someone was serving. So very early on, you see that. And throughout the book of Acts, Paul takes a very service mindset. When you read Peter and you read John, they're talking about, John was always saying, love one another, love one another. We're told in tradition, not in Scripture, that was probably his last words, was little children, love one another. And that's how he ends some of his books. But it goes back to, for me, it goes back to looking at Christ. And, you know, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And then the second is like it, you know, to love your fellow man. And so this idea of loving God and loving others, if we love other people, we're going to serve them. And that should especially be true amongst believers, but it should also be true amongst how we interact with others. So, I mean, it's hard for me to pinpoint a specific passage. I should have started with that. It's really just the entirety of the teaching of Scripture.
Yeah, and that's a really great example. You know, you talked about in the book of Acts, you know, in chapter 6, they mm-hmm. do face this conflict. And even the apostles themselves said, you know, we're doing too much.
Yeah.
We should be focusing on specific mm-hmm. things, prayer and the preaching of the word. And we should find other brothers in the mix to be yeah. able to do these other things. And so that was like a really great example there where they looked at their giftings, they looked at where they could best serve, and then they went from there. But, you know, you mentioned something else that I think is so important here, and that is the example that we have from Jesus himself, that his entire life was of service, mm-hmm. that he even said he came to serve, not to be served. Mm-hmm. And so that should really motivate us. Now, over the years, you've been part of probably many countless numbers of service projects and service opportunities. Is there one that particularly stands out in your mind as, you know, especially memorable that you would be interested to share with us?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, there have been a lot. When I was the youth pastor here, I went on a number of service opportunities with our students. There was one particular trip to Alabama, and we went on our old rickety bus. And if anyone is listening who remembers that old rickety bus, it was an act of God that it even made it to Alabama and back. But that was the first opportunity that I had to really serve alongside of our students here, many who are grown now and in their 30s or approaching 30, and to see them find joy in serving others was a blessing that I wasn't anticipating. I was there with a checklist, making sure that everyone was where they needed to be and trying to handle administrative details and things along those lines, and was just incredibly blessed to see the joy that others had. Years later, we went on family mission trips to Tennessee and were able to serve there alongside my kids. And so to see them working hard in moments and finding joy in serving others, I think was especially fun as well. As a child, I remember my mom seeing a need at the church that we attended, which was a church that was in the city. And there was for whatever reason, a large senior citizen population around there. And so she and my grandma decided to start a senior citizens dinner. And so they would feed these grandmas and grandpas on a Wednesday night that would come, who many didn't have a whole lot. And so to see that early on, I think helped me. And so that was probably some of the more formative ones, those things early on in my life. But certainly there have been a number of opportunities that I've had. And they're opportunities that I had because I was involved in a church community. They become more prevalent. And I think that that's important to note. You know, I know I'm not speaking sociologically necessarily, but a lot of the service that happens worldwide happens because of believers. There certainly are people that don't love Jesus that serve very well. And I don't want to act like they don't, or that everyone is super selfish if they don't know Christ. But when you look globally, the places where hard work is being done to end poverty, to deal with water, things like that, that's coming from believers. And so that I think is one of the reasons why I've had so many opportunities in my life, because I've been a part of Christian communities. And I think that's what we want to see here at Crosspoint.
That's really inspirational. I mean, to talk about it as a community of service, mm-hmm. and not just an individual mm-hmm. choice or an individual action, that we're doing this in the community of believers. You know, one of the things that I think often is easy to get misunderstood here with this topic of service is that serving more is better than serving mm-hmm. less. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's even, you know, misconception in some of the biblical accounts of service, like in the book of James, that serving, or works, if you will, puts you in better standing with God. Would you be willing to just kind of comment for a moment on that? Is it the case that, you know, God loves us better if we serve than if we don't? Is there something to that mm-hmm. That our listeners should hear?
Yeah. I think we always want to be careful about assuming that what we do causes God to love us more. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that, you know, especially when we're looking in the New Testament, that God loves us because of Christ and because of what Christ has done. And that is what should set Christianity, biblical Christianity, apart from other religions. We're not focused on what we do. We're focused on what Christ has done. And that is what saves us. So to look and say that God would love us more because we do more, that puts the responsibility on us in a way that God doesn't put the responsibility on us. He loves us because he loves his son. And so we always want to be careful there. And I was talking with my older son about this just a couple days ago. And the concept is not that because of how we behave, because of what we do, that God loves us. We behave in a different way. We serve, if you will, because God loves us. Not so that he will take notice of us, but we serve because he's taken notice of us. And we want to get that right in terms of chronology. We don't want to mix those up, because once we start to mix that up, once we put the service ahead of things, we end up with what we call legalism. It really depends on everything that you do is what causes God to take notice of you. We want to be careful there. And so at Crosspoint, that's why when we talk about service and serving, we're talking about one of four things that we encourage people to do. And we don't want people to be serving all the time. If someone is only serving, if let's just say Saturday mornings they're at IYM, Wednesday nights they're helping with Awana, Sunday mornings they are greeting, and then they are working with children, they're never in a worship service. They're not in Bible study. They're not finding accountability. It's good that they're serving, but now kind of like one of the wheels of the car is working, but the other three are need air. And the car won't run the right way if they aren't all aired up or inflated, I think is the right word. So we want to be careful there. And so that's why we don't want to stress as a church that the more you do, the more God loves you, or the more you're valuable to the church. Because once we start to do that, then we end up with this kind of, and I'm a box checking kind of person, and give me a list. And if I can do all that, that's great. And that's how I'm wired. So we have to be careful, because I think there's other people wired like me too, that want to get as many marks in the box as possible.
Well, that's a really good word. And I'd like to kind of bring us together here on all these ideas. Pastor Jason, if there were one thing that you could leave our listeners with to kind of summarize all of this into maybe a single sentence or a single idea, what would you want our listeners to know and take away from all of this?
Yeah, it's this, that when you're striving to make Christ the center of your life, you need to be serving somewhere. I mean, just period. And we know if we are, and we know if we aren't. So again, we don't need a box that says you need to be doing this, this, or this. Where are you serving? If you're striving to make Christ the center of your life, you need to be serving somewhere.
All right, Pastor Jason Copeland, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Gary.